Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 and verse 21. This is the reading of God's Word. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, the Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low, and crooked will become straight, and the rough roads smooth. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. Verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so we may understand and we may believe and we may obey. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let us rejoice hearing what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and hearing what we have become in him because of your salvation. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last time, we saw the relationship between the secular history and the redemptive history of God. The secular history continues even after Adam and Eve sinned. The eternal judgment is postponed. And now the purpose of the secular history that is according to the common grace order, is the accomplishment of the redemptive history of God. The secular history and the common grace will end when Jesus Christ comes back to visibly consummate the history of the salvation of God. And now the redemptive history, according to the special grace order, is hidden from the non-believers. But this does not mean that God works secretly. The eyes of the sinners are blinded by their sin. Acts chapter 26, verse 26, "For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a corner." Meaning, whatever that Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, he did not do it secretly. But the sinners refuse to see what is really happening. Our God works in history. So until the end, until the visible consummation of the history of the redemption of our God, the secular history will continue. So both the redemptive history of God and the secular history continues, but the true history is the history of our God's redemption. It will continue until all of God's chosen people are saved. So now we come to chapter 3, verse 2, the latter half of that verse 2. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. So the history of the world continues, but in the midst of that history, God is now working. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Do you see it? God begins His work of salvation in history. And just like how God called many prophets in the Old Testament, God now calls the John the Baptist. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So again, the word of God came to Jeremiah. Amos chapter 1 verse 1 says the same thing. The word of God came to Amos. So here we read that same God is now working in history. He calls John the Baptist. The word of God came to him. God, who was silent for about 400 years after the last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi. God, who was silent for about 400 years, now finally speaks as He begins His work of salvation. His word comes to the John the Baptist. It says, in the wilderness, yes, the true Exodus begins. Just like in the Old Testament, the Exodus in the wilderness. Here, same thing. But this time, it's the ultimate Exodus, true Exodus, meaning the Exodus from this world, the Exodus from sin, now begins. Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and He came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist preaches the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Then Luke tells us what is really happening. Luke chapter 3 verse 4 through 6. It is written in the book of the words of Isaiah prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and rough road smooth. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. Then we are looking at Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is being fulfilled in Luke chapter 3. The Old Testament promise of God is being fulfilled. What was the message of Isaiah chapter 40? Well, the message was simple. The Messiah will come and He will lead the people of God who were in Babylonian exile in the new Exodus. But before the coming of the Messiah, the one who prepares the way of the Lord will appear. So, Isaiah 40 says the Messiah will come and save His people, but before that happens, a prophet of God will come, and he will cry in the wilderness. So you have to understand how exciting this is for the people who are waiting for the Messiah. Because Messiah was promised so long ago. And 400 years ago, at this time, 400 years ago, Malachi, the last prophet of Old Testament, told them about the Messiah coming. But 400 years, for 400 years, nothing. Complete silence. And people are waiting for that Messiah because they live by faith. But complete silence, and all of a sudden, we see a prophet. They see a prophet, John the Baptist, crying out in the wilderness. And you have to appreciate what is really happening here. They're so happy. It's like when you see Jesus come back, and you are eager to go out to Him and meet Him in the air. That's, well, not that much, but you get the idea, what I'm trying to say. As God's people who are waiting for the Messiah, they are also waiting for the one who prepares the way of the Lord, waiting for the prophet of the Lord. But 400 years, like I said, have passed since the last Old Testament prophet. Thus, appearing of the John the Baptist is, to the Israelites who are waiting for the Messiah, is so exciting and significant. Just as God has promised, the Israelites hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The one who will make ready the way of the Lord has come, meaning the Messiah. He will come very soon. He comes, this prophet comes, and he ends the Old Testament and proclaims that the Messiah is coming to bring in the new era. So people are so excited and they go out to meet this prophet. See, God's kingdom is finally coming with its king. That day has come. It is a truly exciting time for the Israelites. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness. He cries out, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare, the king is coming. Prepare, the kingdom of God is coming. John chapter 1 verse 23, the John the Baptist says, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. The voice of the one crying, what does it say? Luke chapter 4 and 5, make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled up. And every mountain and hill will be brought low, and crooked will become straight, and the rough road smooth. At the time when a king returns to his city, his way home is prepared. So they would make it smooth, so the king, his way is prepared. The voice is crying out that people of God must prepare the way of the true King, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Make his path straight. But this straightness is not speaking of the geological straightness. It is speaking of spiritual straightness, the ethical straightness. The straightness of the heart. The word straight of verse 4 in our passage is used in Acts chapter 8, verse 21. There it says, you have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. The verse literally says, your heart is not straight before God. It's the same word. It is used in an ethical sense. The phrase, mountain will be brought low. The word that is translated low is also used in Luke chapter 14 verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. That word humbled is the same word. Again, that word is used in an ethical sense in Luke chapter 14. The word crooked of verse 5 is used in Acts chapter 2, verse 40b. Be saved from this perverse generation. The same word is translated as perverse. Again, the word is used in an ethical sense. So, you get the point. Make ready the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low, and the crooked will become straight, and rough road smooth. All these words are expressed in the geological sense, but we are to understand them in an ethical sense. And also in Psalms, a straight way means a righteous life. Thus, make ready the way of the Lord means to come before the Lord and repent of sinful ways and live the obedient life. That's how the Israelites are called to make ready the way of the Lord. They are to come out to God and repent of their sinful ways and now do their best to live a righteous life. To stop the sinful ways and come back to the Lord to obey the Lord. Verse 3, and he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And you understand now why John the Baptist, he preaches a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, because that's how they are to ready the way of the Lord. They are to come and really repent and turn around from sin, and now they come to obey our God. So, John the Baptist, he preaches, and he gives a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, this baptism of the John the Baptist, it is a different baptism from the baptism of the church today. Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John the Baptist himself tells us that his baptism is different from the baptism that Jesus Christ will give us. We will look at this verse again next Lord's Day, so we'll move on. But we are able to see that the baptism of John the Baptist was a baptism that was pointing to the true baptism of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 19, verse 2 to 7. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, Into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, even though they got the baptism of John the Baptist, they were baptized again in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men. So these verses tell us the baptism of the John the Baptist is not the same baptism you and I receive in the church. It was given before Jesus Christ died on the cross for his people's sin. It was given before the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It was not given in the name of Jesus Christ. But it pointed to the true baptism of Jesus Christ. We also see a baptism in the Old Testament. The Gentiles were baptized before they were received into Judaism. But the baptism of the John the Baptist was not even that baptism. The John the Baptist in our passage baptized the Jews actually rather than the Gentiles. The true people of God must repent of their sins. Both the Jews and the Gentiles must repent of their sins. And this is so important, especially these days. I don't think so many people truly understand what being saved means. Being, you know, you say, I believe in Jesus Christ means that you have repented of your sins. Because if you don't repent, then everything you say you believe is contrary to what you believe. There is no Christianity without repentance. There is no Christian life without repentance. Bible doesn't teach any of that. Christians repent of their sins because Holy Spirit living in them is working. You know, if Holy Spirit is sleeping in you, okay, then you may not repent. But if Holy Spirit is working and His work is effectual, then you will repent of your sins. So here, the way of the Lord must be through the repentance of God's people. Because the reason, only reason for the separation between God and the sinner is the sinner's sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. This sin problem must be solved. The baptism of the John the Baptist was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So then, Israelites are called to come out to the Lord to repent so that they could ready the way of the Lord. So all the people came out to repent. They came out to repent of their sins to make ready the way of the Lord. Luke chapter 21 verse 8. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. This baptism, it says that it is a baptism of the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Mark tells us in Mark chapter 1 verse 5, and all the country of Judea was going out to him, going out to John the Baptist, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. All came out, Bible says. And they got this baptism, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And they got baptized confessing their sins, repenting their sins. And you could picture this, everybody's repenting of their sins. Now then, by this, is the way of the Lord ready? Is it prepared? No. Why not? Because their repentance was not perfect. No matter how much they repent, they could not prepare the way of the Lord. Because their repentance is just simply not perfect. Just like yours and mine. How many times you repented and you never sinned after that? We all sin. The same exact sin. Meaning that our repentance was not perfect.
And because their repentance was not perfect, the way of the Lord could not be prepared. Then what is the gospel? Well, the good news is verse 21 tells us not only these people were baptized, but that Jesus was also baptized. Jesus receives the baptism of the John the Baptist, which is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, this is strange, is it not? Because we all know Jesus is sinless. He never sinned. So why is he getting the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? In Matthew chapter 3, we see the same event. And here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 14, we read this. But John the Baptist, tried to prevent Jesus from getting baptized, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? See, you could see that even John the Baptist knows that Jesus does not have to receive his baptism. He knew. He said, why are you getting this baptism? Then why is Jesus getting this baptism? Well, Jesus is identifying himself with us, the sinners. Just like what he did on the cross. Same question, why is he dying on the cross? He was sinless. He never sinned. Why is he dying on the cross? Same thing, why is he getting this baptism? He never sinned. So why does he getting a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin? Same question, same answer. He's doing it for us, for you. In the Old Testament, we see the leaders of God's people who are representing them, repenting of people's sins on their behalf. We see Moses representing the, you know, people of God. We see Moses repenting the sins of God's people. And you go, oh, why is he doing that? Because he was representing them. We see many prophets of God doing the same in the Old Testament. Jesus as our representative, repenting of our sins. And he does that perfectly. By his perfect repentance then, by his perfect repentance for the sins of his people, the way of the Lord is now prepared. Jesus prepares his way all by himself. And we expect nothing less. Thus, he comes. The king comes. And he comes with his kingdom. The way of the Lord is now prepared. And if we look at it in deeper level, Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. Now, because of his death on the cross for our sins and his righteousness that is imputed to us, our repentance, which is never perfect, is nevertheless received by our God in Jesus Christ. But only because of his perfect repentance for our sins. And the way of the Lord, the Messiah, is prepared. Amazing story. Can you picture all the sinners coming out, repenting of their sins, doing it as best as they know how, and they're crying, beating their chest. Some might even like hurt themselves and repenting and repenting and repenting. But the way of the Lord is never prepared. God cannot come. The Messiah just cannot come because the way is not prepared. Can you picture that?
But Jesus Christ, He repents for our sins. And He does that perfectly. You and I now participate in the true repentance of sins by our Lord Jesus Christ.
And we have received the baptism, which is the sign and seal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have received it by faith. The baptism that we have received in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is the sign and seal of our union with Jesus Christ in His death and His resurrection. It is a sign and seal of our sins being completely cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the sign and seal of us being clothed with Jesus Christ, clothed with His righteousness. And it is the sign and seal of us being members of His family, us being the holy and bride, holy and righteous bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, and this is how I'm going to end this sermon. We see Him preparing the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord that is straight. Way of the Lord that is righteous. That's how God comes. Because if the way of the Lord is not straight, meaning righteous, then only thing He brings is judgment. Only thing He brings us is eternal damnation. But He prepares the way of the Lord, the righteous way. But not only that, because of what He has done and what He has accomplished, not only Jesus Christ prepared perfectly the way of the Lord, He also readied our way. Our straight way. In our lives, in your life and my life, you must understand, you must see through His Word that in your life, every ravine has been filled up already, and every mountain and hill have been brought low, and all the crooked have become straight, and the rough road smooth. That is your spiritual reality. That is what is true of you in Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Yes, you see how sinful you are. You see you sin every single day. But look again. Look again with your faith. You see that your life is now righteous. That straight is your way. That God has straightened your way that was crooked. And this is your present spiritual reality. This is who you are. Yes, you sin, I know. But in Jesus Christ, you are righteous. And you live that righteous life by faith. And in heaven, forever and ever, you will live that righteous life. Oh, when I look at you in heaven, for, I don't know, many, many billion years later, I see your life in heaven, and I will see it straight, righteous. This is what has been accomplished. And you need to believe so that you may, out of that faith, that you may actually live that out. Without faith, everything is sin. So first, before you even try anything to live that righteous life, you must believe that that reality has been accomplished. The problem with you and me is that you don't believe, and I don't believe. Even when we do believe, our faith is so small. that this gigantic mountain, our faith sees only brought low a little bit. And there's this still gigantic mountain in front of you. No! You must read it as what Bible tells you. You must understand it. You must believe. Don't judge, not even your lives, by what you see with your physical eyes. But judge it by the Word. This is amazing news for us. This is our present spiritual reality. You know, God has said in Isaiah 42:16, He said, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know, in path they do not know, and I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. Isaiah 57:14, and it will be said, build up, prepare the way. Remove every obstacle out of the way of my people, God said. God promised He will make our way straight. And He did. And that is what Jesus Christ has done. This is what has happened as we are saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our way of sin has ended. The eternal straight way has been accomplished for us. This straight way, the smooth way, the righteous way has been accomplished for us. This is our life. This is our eternal life. And the book of Acts tells us that the Christianity was called the way, the straight way, the righteous way. Do you see the reality of your eternal life? The straight way. We must believe. Believe that our straight way is completely accomplished, and by faith witness that reality. Let us diligently repent of our sins, and let us completely repent of our sins and live the obedient life in Jesus Christ, because that is our reality. And it's not something that you do these things to accomplish, but it is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, I know you sin. I know I sin. But we must believe that straight way has been prepared for you and me forever by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is your reality. So believe and live it out as much as possible, much as you are able. That's what God is commanding you. We must witness this reality, and we will see the baptism of John the Baptist in a different perspective. Because there's another perspective that we must see, and that's from verses 7 through 20. We will look at it next time. But brothers and sisters, by Jesus preparing the way of the Lord by Himself, I want you to also see that He has prepared your way, your straight way, forever and ever. This is why I am able to sleep with joy every night. Because when I see myself just sin like crazy, I mean the same sin just... And you give in so easily, too. It's like sometimes it feels like you want to beat the next time how fast you're going to sin the same sin. So that you could get a faster time. And it seemed like that's your life. That's all you do in your life. But I come to the Bible and I see what Christ has done, what He has accomplished. And because of what He has done, who I have become, what kind of person I am now in Christ. And it is glorious. Oh, it gives me so much joy. And really, nothing really matters after you understand what Christ has done for you. Let us live with this faith. Let's live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace, Your love, Your mercy. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the eternal life that He has accomplished for us. Oh, it tells us so much what has happened to us. Let us, through Your Word, know all those ways, what it means to be saved. What did Jesus do? What kind of eternal reality that Jesus has accomplished for us? Let us know it, so that we may live by faith, giving You all the glory and thanksgiving, living with eternal joy now and forever. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.